Blog Talk Radio.
Share that with us at this time. We want our readers to know so much about the love that Dr. Brent had for his children, for Carolyn, and for the world, but most of all, the fact that his love for God prompted him to let Carolyn know just how deeply he loves her, because that's how deeply God loves all of us.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. What an honor to do this reading. Thank you for asking me to do this, Carolyn, and thank you for your awesome hostessship, Dr. Mary Newbern. And this is a dedication to Carolyn's dad that was taken from an excerpt from her book, Why Wait? The Baby Boomer's Guide to Preparing Emotionally, Financially, and Legally for a Parent's Death. It says, a dedication to my dad, Pastor William L. Brent, Ph.D., I will be forever grateful to have been blessed with him, the most wonderful and amazing parent I could have ever hoped or asked for, and a special dedication and thanks to the unsung caregivers throughout the world. And you can visit www.caregiverstory.com for more on Carolyn and her dad and caregiver story. The story my dad told me about the pelican. My dad and I were very close. As a single parent, he raised me from the time I was 12 until I was 19, the age at which I left home. That year, I moved from Denver to Los Angeles to explore the world. Dad remarried, and we remained close. Over the years, I'd look forward to his visits to Los Angeles each March to celebrate his birthday and catch up. Because Dad was a church pastor, he used our special time together to share the Word of God with me. There was one birthday visit I'll never forget. I decided to take Dad to Redondo Beach on a Wednesday afternoon. Hardly any people were around, and it was a beautiful day. The ocean was misty, and the moon had risen and was hanging above us in the sky. Dad and I walked along the beach for a while until we found a comfortable spot to sit in the sand. Then, as we sat gazing at the water and listening to the calls of the seagulls and pelicans that were gracefully flying by, he began to talk to me about God's love for humanity. Pointing to one pelican slowly soaring high in the sky, silhouetted against the moon, Dad said, "Carolyn, do you see that pelican? Imagine if that beautiful bird had only one responsibility in life. What if it had to fly to the moon and drop off a single grain of sand that it was carrying in its pouch, and then it had to repeat this task until all the sand was removed from the face of the earth?" Looking directly at me, he asked, "How long do you think it would take?" "It would take forever," she answered. "The love of God and my love for you are eternal," he said. "Even after I've gone to glory for as long as it would take a pelican to remove the sand from the earth, a grain of sand at a time, that's how long my love will be for you." That was the first time I can recall Dad speaking with me about the prospect of his death. Of course, I didn't really want to discuss it, and in fact, I think I changed the subject. Being in my 20s then, death seemed far off. On some level, I felt that Dad would live forever and nothing bad could ever happen to him. But I also made a vow to God on that day that I'd always be there to take care of Dad if he needed me. Later on, I did my best to honor this promise. My dad was my best friend, my hero, and my advisor, and I hoped and prayed he'd be with me forever. The good times I had with him continued for the next 33 years, and there were many opportunities for us to discuss his end-of-life wishes. We did the best we could to prepare, but when I became his caregiver, I discovered that knowing someone's wishes is not enough. Even doing the necessary paperwork to ensure that end-of-life wishes will be fulfilled does not always protect an elderly parent or a loved one, particularly if other family members disagree with the arrangements that have been made. Even if you try to do the right things and do your best to prepare for every possible scenario that might arise, like the chronic illness of a parent and the costs associated with it, you can never be too prepared. Thank you. That was from Carolyn Brent, the excerpt from Why Wait? The Baby Boomer's Guide in Preparing Emotionally, Financially, and Legally for a Parent's Death. Thank you. This is Melissa Richardson.
Melissa,
thank you,
what
Melissa.
An outstanding reading.
You're welcome.
Indeed. Thank you so, 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 so much.
Thank you.
We also have on the show this evening, we also have Maggie, who is a friend and a confidant and truly a sister in the spirit. Maggie, what would you like to share with us about Dr. Brent?
Good evening, everyone. I never met Dr. Brent personally. However, I know him through his seed, through his fruit, a fruit that he has left behind, which is Carolyn A. Brent. And the Bible says, train a child in the way that he should go, they should go, and when they are older, they won't stray away from it. And so because of his seed, I know him today. Just knowing this woman, a woman who is fearless, a woman who is who perseveres, she's relentless, she's consistent. So many things about her tells me who this man was when he was here on the earth. And I'm reminded of a butterfly. When butterflies, of course, have four stages. The last stages is the reproductive stage. Before the butterfly actually leaves, it actually produces its eggs, so that way the cycle can continue. And so Carolyn is a seed that has been left behind, and I can gladly say that thanks to him, we now today, in today's society, can say we know, I can say that I know an award-winning American author. She's not only that, but she's an elder care legislation advocate. She's a broadcast TV analyst. She has her book at the Library Journal, and she's also the founder of Caregiver Story, Inc., which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so his legacy lives on through the life of his seed and his fruit, Carolyn A. Brent. So I pay homage to him, you know, for doing what he's done and for really taking the time out to invest in his own. So now his own is now investing into the world as well, and definitely into me. So because he lived, Carolyn lives, and because Carolyn lives, there are others who will live as well. A lot of people are living, they're living physically, but spiritually they have died. But because of her, they'll be able to actually live a different type of life where they're able to, of course, chase their dreams now and resurrecting the things that were dead on the inside of them, because now they find hope, they find peace, they find a new direction with the books that she's written, and to give them a hope that they probably thought that they could never find. So through her, he lives, and that is how I know him. And so I just thank him for all that he has done in this society, in this world, and his daughter, which is being passed on from generations to come. Because once you write a book, you know, it lives on even though you may pass. And so we now all have gifts. We have tools that we can use even after we all pass, that she has left for not only us, but our children and our children's children. So I thank him for that, and I thank her for not straying away from what he instilled in her.
Wow. Maggie, I'm just so honored. I'm actually tearing up, and I want to thank you, Melissa, for reading it out. So everyone know, first of all, I just want to thank God. I thank God for this anointed radio show tonight, because we weren't supposed to be on the air. We were going to do a rerun. And Dr. Mary Newton-Williams texted me yesterday and said, Carolyn, you know, I really would like to honor Grandpa. Can we? Is it too late to do a show for him? And, of course, you know I'm going to say yes. And then I called Melissa. I said, Melissa, can you do the reading for us? Melissa had an appointment. And Melissa, you could drop the call anytime you want. I want to thank you for coming on. Melissa had a 3 o'clock appointment in California. And she said, Carolyn, for Grandpa, now she wouldn't do it for me, but for Grandpa, she said, oh, I'm going to get on this phone call. I'm going to be on this call for Grandpa. So I thank God I got to use Grandpa's name. I get a whole lot of stuff accomplished when I say, oh, Grandpa told me to tell you. Then all of a sudden, people, they line up. But what's really special about, I got to say this about everyone that's on this podcast tonight, Mary is dear and near to my heart, because I see us as young women. I was 28 years old when I first met Mary, and my daddy was with me, and he was in his 50s. And Mary walked in. We were at the Rose Bowl at the country club because she was being introduced to everyone in Pasadena as the new pastor in town. So my relationship with Mary goes deep, 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 goes back to, you know, when I was young, 28. Maggie, I met her when she was 28. Now she's like 30. But going back to Melissa, Melissa and I, we go back many, many years. I believe I was still in my 30s when I met her. I've known her for, I don't know how many years, maybe 20, I guess. I don't know.
18.
But about 18 years. And Melissa actually was a caregiver to my father. When I had to leave town and hop on an airplane and leave for days, Melissa filled in the gap because I trusted her. You can't leave your parents with just any old body. But Melissa, she would be there, and she would all the time I call to see how Dad's doing and how she's doing. Oh, Carolyn, Dad's singing Amazing Grace to me. How sweet the sound. Oh, my goodness. And I said, he's singing Amazing Grace? She said, yeah, Carolyn, we're singing Amazing Grace. And by the way, he asked me to marry him, but I have to remind him that I'm his daughter. He can't marry me. So we turned that into a joke, because when you have dementia, Melissa learned to just roll with it. She didn't get insulted that Dad would sing, you know, Amazing Grace with her and then turn around and go, oh, I just love you. Will you marry me? That's a part of the disease. They just forget what they're doing. But I love
That's
it
true.
Because we had fun with Dad, and Dad and her would sing together, and Dad would sing with me as well, but he wouldn't sing Amazing Grace with me like he sung with Melissa. He would sing How Great They Are That Thou Art to me. So I had to call Melissa on the phone last week. I said, Melissa, what's that song that Grandpa sings to you? Oh, Carolyn, he's still singing to me. This is what she says. Every night he puts me to sleep. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Thank God, I am free. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And then I called Dr. Mary Newbern Williams on the phone. I said, Dr. Mary Newbern Williams, because she is my pastor, and it's like, could you please go into depth with what does all this mean? And she actually started talking about what it meant. Amazing Grace, and she went into detailing, gave me some really rich and deep history, which she will talk about in a few minutes. But I want to touch on Maggie. Maggie's like my little sister, my child, my confidant, my mentor, my big sister. She's wrapped up into all these different packages, because I met Maggie 3 years ago when I first moved to Florida, and Maggie was helping me and still has been helping me with Caregiver Story and Grandpa's Dreams. And what I love about Maggie, she does know about Dad because she did so much research on me until I thought, oh, my goodness, this lady, because she was going to actually do fundraising for Caregiver Story. So she did her research, and she knew so much about me and Grandpa's work. And I got to tell you, when I got my first book deal, Maggie was in the car when I pulled the car on the edge of of the freeway across the street from a church. And I said, oh, my God, Maggie, I just got a book deal. And Maggie, she's been there every step of the way. And I've had some good times, and I've had some bad times here in Florida. But Maggie's been there. She's one of these people, you dial her on the phone, and she's right there. And Maggie, I love you. Mary, I love you. Melissa, I love you. And guess what? Grandpa loves you guys too. So thank you guys so much for sharing your relationship with Grandpa, because I got to tell you, there's not a second, not a millimeter of a second that doesn't go by that Grandpa's always telling me what to do to this day. That's why the kingdom is being built, and nothing and no one will stop it, and I'm not going to ever stop until God calls me home. So I just want to say thank you guys so much. I'm just overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving.
Oh, no thanks That's necessary, that. Carol. We love you. We love you and respect you, value you for your heart, for your wonderful spirit, and for the fact that you care so much for humanity, that you are just
advocating for those who are in situations where they are caring for family members with dementia and don't really know how to go about taking care for them, your book is just a wonderful guide to how to care for those who we love that are in tough situations. My mother had Alzheimer's, and we had to deal with it as a family. And from the very beginning, not understanding what that illness is about, we didn't know what the symptoms were, what was happening. But my sister and my brother and I bound together and did everything we could to take very good care of her. And I thank God that my niece Diane, my sister Louise, my nephew Don, my brother Bob, children Joy, Robert, and Philip, and I, we just put our hearts and souls together and did everything we could so that she would be cared for. We loved her, and so we truly understand what happens in all of the dynamics when someone has dementia. And it does, unfortunately, attack very intelligent people. It attacks people irregardless of your economic background, your religious background, your race, your nationality. It is a dreaded scourge of an illness. But when you are surrounded by those who love you, it really makes things go much better. And and you are just a model for the world in what you have done, for Dr. Brent, Grandpa, but what you have done for humanity with all of this work. You have taken untold amounts of time, hours from your life, days, months, years, putting together all that you have so that people can benefit from it. And we are just truly grateful. And that is a means of grace for the world. God is of love, and grace, and mercy. God is a God who is forgiving, who is caring, who understands. One of the things that I am always touched by in worship services, when we in the Reformed tradition, in the Methodist tradition, in many of our religious traditions, there is a time during the worship service when everybody corporately confesses that we are imperfect people, sinners who are saved by grace. And one of the things that is often said is that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, we confess to a God who is merciful, who is forgiving. Person says, let us confess our sin. And usually there's a brief prayer that's written generically so that everybody can participate and share it together. When that time is done, the pastor or the worship leader will say, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Believe in the gospel and be at peace. My friends, we believe in Almighty God. We believe that God places people, resources in our midst that we can take advantage of so that we can help our loved ones, so that we can help ourselves, so that people like Carolyn can advocate others on their behalf, and that is a means of grace. And I am convinced that for those of you who may not know and for those of you who do know, I've done over the years a lot of research on this hymn, Amazing Grace, and I encourage all of you to go online. You can Google history of the hymn Amazing Grace. You can Google the history and life of John Newton, who was the composer of it, and learn about his life. He lived a life truly that is a testimony to God's amazing grace. And when he prepared, when he wrote this hymn, he wrote it in the language of the day. It was beautifully done. And in years later, an anonymous person wrote what has become the final verse of Amazing Grace. Carolyn, you shared the first verse with us earlier in the show. The final verse
I
says,
have a question. Well, before you go to the final verse, could you do the final verse? But I just, something just came in my spirit. We have a renowned world singer on the phone, Maggie Jane, and I would like for her to sing Amazing Grace. But do this. You want to do the, you want Maggie to sing first, and then we do the second verse. You could do the second verse, Mary. Or how would we like to do that?
Why don't we have Maggie? Would you please sing Amazing Grace for us, and then I'll share the last verse. And if the spirit moves and you sing that last verse, we'll just elaborate on it when you're done. That's beautiful. We would love
Maggie, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. I do not have a problem with singing Amazing Grace. As a matter of fact, I felt it coming.
Okay. Thank you so much.
It's all on you.
Okay. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
That is so beautiful.
How beautiful.
Do you know the next verse? You know the next verse, Maggie?
'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fear really. How precious that grace appears. The hour I first believe.
Beautifully done.
Oh, beautiful. Boy. And
I'm sleepy now.
I'm sorry? Say that again?
I was going to say, I'm sleepy now. That's my bedtime song from Grandpa. So now I have
Melissa, you're going to have to do the last part. Grandpa would sing with you. Sing the part that you and Grandpa would sing. Thank God, thank God. Mm-hmm. Please sing that, Melissa.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. My voice is not in a singing mode right now. I'm so tired. So normally I just hum it. You know what I mean? He sings and I'll hum it, you know?
Okay.
And that's what helps me go to sleep every night.
Okay, Maggie, you could sing and she could hum. I want to get this whole thing. This is beautiful. Okay, Maggie, finish singing and Melissa, you can hum.
Okay. The last verse?
Any verse.
Sure, why not? Actually, anyone. Yeah.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know that faith to sing God's grace. Then when we first begun.
You guys, thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
My heart is touched because now with Dr. Mary Newburn Williams, those words are so powerful. I knew they were powerful, but Dr. Mary Newburn Williams, take it here. Let's talk about the words.
Yes, indeed. Amazing Grace. God's Amazing Grace is just a gift that was given to humanity through the love that God has for us, realizing that God created all of us in God's image. God created this world and humanity so that we would live to by God, to please God, to love others in His name, and knowing that we are imperfect, that we are prone to think of ourselves first often instead of God first, God understood that. And for those of us who are Christians, in God's time, God sent Jesus Christ to earth. We believe that Jesus Christ was preeminent with God. Long before the world began, Jesus Christ was. And in God's time, Jesus became the human manifestation of God, came to earth. The Gospel of John says he came down from heaven and lived among us full of grace and truth. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk a little bit more, particularly Matthew and Luke talk about details around his birth, that he was born of Mary through the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, his earthly father, loved him, helped raise him, and he became all that God intended through his earthly existence. But his purpose in coming to earth was to save us from ourselves, to provide a means through which and through whom we would be forgiven, that our sins would be wiped away, that we would indeed be able to live out the promise of eternal life that came in Jesus Christ. And so that itself is a means of grace, the opportunity to have the sins that we commit on a regular basis be wiped away. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. You know, there's a lovely scripture that says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And in doing so, we proclaim Christ as Lord. When he ascended to heaven, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. But he told his disciples that he would leave an advocate. He would leave the Spirit who would guide us and teach us in all things. That is the Holy Spirit who is with us now. We can't see this Spirit, but we can feel this Spirit who comes to us in many ways through our better judgment, through our heart and mind, how we think, how we process, how we discern. That Spirit is with us. And so, therefore, when human beings pass from this earthly life into eternity and are there with all of the host, their spirit rests with all of us. And that is what we call the becoming part of the great cloud of witnesses. And Dr. Brent is part of the great cloud of witnesses whose spirit lives on in each of us. I am always excited to talk about that, because the belief of many Native American Indian people, the belief of many African people, the belief of Christian people, period, comes all together as we talk about the spirit of those loved ones who have gone before. That spirit is with us to guide and protect us and to continue to lead us and show us the way. You know, Carolyn, Maggie, and Melissa, I had a wonderful conversation recently with a dear sister in Christ who is our Synod Executive for the Synod of the Lakes and Prairies, which is part of my presbytery, my region of churches, Ilona Street Stewart. And Ilona and I talked about that. She is Native American Indian. And we talked about the beauty of the great cloud of witnesses. And they believe very strongly that those spirits protect us, love us, and guide us, continue to surround us. And I remember that's one of the early teachings that I experienced as a little girl that when those loved ones pass away, their spirits live on with us. And Dr. Brent is smiling down from heaven right now because he's proud of you, Carolyn, all that you've done. He is smiling at you, Melissa, because you were there with him. And Maggie, he's smiling upon you because you are close to the fruit of all that he did, as you shared early on. And we believe that we will see him again in glory one day. That is one of the things that often for me, for my parents who have now joined that great cloud of witnesses, it keeps me knowing that I will see them again in glory, that those loved ones of mine who have gone, my brother, my nephew, my niece, my grandparents on all sides, I will see them again in God's time. And in the meantime, we continue to live out those teachings, because all that he did and gave as he cared for you, Carolyn, it's all become the great fruit of his work in existence, because you're carrying on that legacy in how you advocate for others. So, you know, the sixth verse, that last verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Time will be no more. It will just continue going round and round and round, because we will be in eternity forever praising God. And I didn't mean to preach, but I just kind of wanted to share a little bit more of that.
Well, you know what? That's really so right on, because I tell you, our God is amazing. My life, I feel like I'm a walking miracle. And the reason why I say I believe I'm a walking miracle, because supernatural things has happened in my life, and I ask God, thank you, Jesus, and it's nothing but a miracle. And I'm really grateful that with Melissa every week, she and I, we get on the phone on Fridays when people are out having a great time. We're on the phone talking about God, and it could be just based, Dr. Mary Newburn Williams, on one word or two words. It's like, what do you want to talk about this week? It could be prayer or gratitude or Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, the more we praise God, I believe it's the more God just supplies all and every one of our needs. And I thank you, Dr. Mary Newburn Williams, not only with the respect that I have for you as a pastor, but I have the respect for you as a friend, and also how you could, any time I talk about the woes of the world, what the world is doing, and the things that really, really hurt, you could take that, and you don't beat us up with the Bible. You just simply share the word of God with us, and it just makes it so much better. That's for me, because I actually am the voice piece of people. I say what people are thinking. What people come to me with, I share it with you, and I just love the way that you share things, and I love the way that Melissa shares things, because it's so nice to get on the phone with a female, and we're not gossiping. But if we are gossiping, we're gossiping about God and about Jesus, what God has done for us. And I tell you, that's the kind of gossip, if that's what you want to call gossip. That's what I like doing. I don't like people coming to me with mess. You know, Sally Mae, Sally Sue, or, you know, my father used to say that you got to be careful when people come to you talking about Sally and talking about Jane. And he said, if they tell you that, they're going to say, if you tell it, don't you call my name. So you can't. It's no use to gossiping, because gossip, unless we're talking about God or Jesus or giving testimonies, you know, a lot of people, my thing, they ask Carolyn, you know, you're different. Why do you do these things, or how can these things happen? And it's just because of amazing grace, and also giving honor to God, and giving honor to those who, as you said, have left before us, because they are the ones that's planted the seed. And my father literally handed me the gauntlet, which I didn't realize it, And then I figured out one day, I said, I'm doing the same thing Daddy used to do, except for he was a minister. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how I got involved with this, but he passed me the gauntlet. And that's how I ended up with Grandpa's Dreams, which is a caregiver story. That's what it is.
Sure. Sure. Indeed. Indeed. Carolyn, you have done so much in the creation caregiver story. Just all that this movement will do and has done for people is just amazing. And it started with your wonderful father just being who he was and taking care of you. I love what you said about the whole issue with gossip, because one of my former colleagues in Pasadena and Los Angeles, Shirley J. Adams, she was the director of the Pasadena branch of the Los Angeles Urban League, and she always used to say, someone who brings you, a dog who brings a bone will carry a bone. If someone brings you gossip, they'll take back whatever you say.
That is the truth.
And I remember
that
hearing
that
thinking.
That's a good one.
Yeah, she's really, she never participated in gossip. She didn't participate in foolishness, and she would cut it off at the knees if it ever came to the table. And she would merely say, a dog who brings a bone carries a bone.
Yes.
And
wow, that's pretty powerful.
It makes you think. Very, very powerful. She, a great leader, is a great leader, and is now in Atlanta continuing to do great things. So we are often touched by the people in our lives, the people who are part of us. Carolyn, would you care to share any more in the overview of the life of Dr. William L. Brent? Is there anything you would like for all of us to know about him?
There's one thing in particularly that I really want to share with the world about my dad that I find very fascinating as an adult. My father never spoke poorly of any human being ever. I've never heard. And when Dad got sick, I got mad at Dad. And I thought, how come you didn't tell me there's some no good men out there, Dad? You know, because he never spoke poorly of anyone. And I just thought, this is a man. He always taught me to look for the good in people, but he never really told me that there's bad folks that you got to run from. I found that out the hard way, but I found that very fascinating that Dad never, he was always a man that felt that he wanted to help the needy, help the poor, help the underprivileged, help folks, period. I find myself like this. Anyone that has the ear to hear and the heart to change, those are the people I want to talk to, because there's a lot of poor folks that don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to remain poor forever. That's just the way some people think. So I think a lot differently than what my father, I was on the air at CBS this past week in Virginia, and the one thing that I made very clear, I said, if you want to be a caregiver, or if you're going to care for yourself, or we need to get ourselves in this mindset that we've got to get knowledge, our own knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get it. But those that don't want to get the knowledge, those are the people that will end up in these places that are scary. I call them a pee-pee joint, but they're called nursing homes. And not all nursing homes are pee-pee joints, but there's a whole lot of pee-pee joints out there when a person doesn't prepare. So those folks that keep their ears closed are the folks that will end up living a life that they could have avoided if they just would have opened up their ears to hear. But Dr. Newbern Williams, we only have 15 minutes left, and this is what I would like to do. We have talented people on this call. You're talented. You have the book With Scars on My Soul. I want you to briefly talk about that. Maggie's writing a book called I Missed the Bus or Don't Miss the Bus. And also Melissa is a nutritionist. She's a person that she is an advocate about. You got to change the way you think, the way you eat, the way you feed your body. And I think she told me she lost 40 pounds. And I'm going – Melissa, I can't even imagine her losing that kind of weight because she's a small person anyway. But in the last 14 minutes, and then you could wrap up the show, Dr. Neuberg-Williams, we could start with Melissa. Melissa, would you like to say anything about your work that you're doing for helping folks as far as the way we look at food?
Well, the main way that I'm helping people is just by trying to be an example. I'm just starting out by taking care of myself and eating right. I weigh and measure not just my food, but I weigh and measure my life. And balance is important because, as you know, you guys might know, I'm a caregiver for my husband. So it's just I've learned how to be in this. This program is Food Addicts. foodaddicts.org. It's really been amazing. I'm amazed. One of the promises of the program says you will be amazed before you are halfway through. And I'm just amazed at how I'm finding serious serenity and balance in my life. And some days I get off because I'm, you know, also going through menopause,
okay.
which can be, you know, which can interfere. But I, you know, exercise, you know, just exercising, eating clean, you know, we have to cleanse ourselves every single day because you're eating, breathing, and drinking toxins every day. And so, you know, it's just about weighing and measuring and not only just being, you know, what you eat, breathe, and drink every day, it's people, your environment, you know, protecting yourself from toxic people. You know, when you're talking about gossiping and stuff, the Bible also talks about a gossip is to not be trusted. So, you know, I'm, you know, just, it's just been amazing. I'm just amazed at how the Lord has been, you know, getting closer to him spiritually by going through this program. You know, I love the bond that I have with Carolyn. I just have to say two more things about, you know, about Grandpa, because I didn't really get to elaborate on him. He was mm-hmm. such a humble and such a blessing, and I'm one of those people who seeks wisdom all the time. So I love older people. You know, I come from a family of 11, and I'm the youngest girl. I call myself soul sister number 9 because I'm the nice child. And so all my sisters and brothers are older except for my two younger brothers, but I've always enjoyed learning. I've always learned, and I'm you know, I'm a much better listener now than I was, you know, when I was younger. But you know, Grandpa was just such a blessing. He was so humble and so, you know, passionate and just so loving that I really, really miss him. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. And I, now that I'm up on my feet, my singing voice, I can't really sing. I make a joyful noise. But he told me to share the other version of Amazing Grace. So I'm going to sing it real quick for you guys because this is one of the versions.
Okay, hold on. Before you sing it, didn't I tell you guys, if I asked her to do something, she'll tell me no. But she's always telling Grandpa,
that's
yes.
Not true.
Been,
that's not true.
This is all
Carolyn, now you know that's not true. Shame on you. You know I will do anything for you, you know. So, but this is, anyway, this is the other version that Grandpa would always, you know, that he sings to me a lot, you know, when I'm going to sleep at night. It goes like this. Praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. That's it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh, that
praise
is so God. Beautiful. You know what? I got to tell you, I'm praising God right now. All these beautiful voices. Everyone on the phone I didn't even know Melissa knew how to sing until she called me on my birthday and she sung Happy Birthday. I went, oh my God, this lady has a voice on her. But thank you for singing the praise God, because Grandpa, he would walk around the house singing the praise God part. Thank you so much, Melissa. Anything else before we get
the honor?
Oh, thank you. Oh, I got to tell you, I hope all
I hope all my friends at CBS, they told me that I had great ratings. The producer contacted me yesterday on email on a Saturday, so I'm really excited about that. So CBS, see all these talented people I have on my show? Yes, we've got to get on CBS together. Okay, Maggie, what would you tell us about your book?
Gladly.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. My book, the name of my book is called I Missed the Bus, But I'm On My Way. And this book actually came from, it's really a story, it's my story. And I explain how, let me just rewind. I was on my way to work, and on my way to work, I missed the bus. And it was really not a good day for me. And at that point, I was really aggravated. And so the only way I felt like I could relieve the stress that I had and disappointment and frustration was through writing. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to write about missing the bus. And so I felt the Spirit of God telling me, Maggie, I'm not telling you to write about literally missing the bus. There's a bigger picture I need you to catch on. And people are missing the bus every day in their lives, and it's not just literally. People are missing the bus financially. They're missing the bus in their family relationships. They're missing the bus in so many different areas. And I go as far as breaking it down so that people can understand that although you have... Hello?
Are you there? Yeah, we're here.
Yes,
we're here. You hear me, Maggie? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay. Although you have missed the bus, you are still definitely on your way. And people can miss the bus through procrastination. They can miss it through ignorance. They can miss it through shrinkage. There's different ways that you can miss the bus, and I actually break it down so people can understand that sometimes you feel like you have arrived, but there are other areas in your life that you're neglecting where you're actually missing the bus. And so I share that you may have missed the bus, but I share with them how they can get on their way. And so really it's just a story of my own life that I'm breaking down that I feel like would really help other people if they will take the time to read it.
Wow, that's beautiful. Isn't that magnificent, Dr. Mary Newborn Williams, that she's so young for that kind of juice to come out of someone so young? I used to miss the bus all the time, so thank God I figured out I'm not missing the bus anymore. So thank you so much. Maggie, when do you think your book is going to be finished?
It will be finished this year. I'm trying to, I'm working on making sure that this book is finished before the end of, before July, my birthday on the 31st. I'm sorry, July 8th.
Well, great. Thank you for sharing that. And Dr. Moon, first of all, before Maggie, before you drop the call or anything, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. I want to thank Melissa for taking the time out of her schedule to be with us on this impromptu telephone, telesummit for Grandpa. And I just love my father so much. He lives within me. As far as I'm concerned, he's alive and well in me. So I thank you so much for taking the time and your beautiful tribute to my father and me. I appreciate it. Okay?
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
So, Dr. Mary, tell us about your book again.
Thank you.
You can take your time.
Thank you. My book is entitled With Scars on My Soul, and it was written under a pen name. My pen name is Ellen Amy Ryle, and I was advised by our publishers, the publishers at that time, to write it under a pen name, which I did. I always do what they say because they know better than I. And it's a novel about a pastor, Ramika Middlebrook, who follows a long-time pastor, and she accepts a call to a congregation that is deeply conflicted. She uncovers much corruption, and in so doing, a small group of members plot to get rid of her. They are successful in getting rid of the pastor, of Ramika, but they destroy the church in the process. And so the message is that if we follow God's leading
if we truly live our lives in answer to how God is calling us, we will not seek to hurt others. We will seek to lift up Jesus Christ to the world. And in so doing, we will learn to live and work together. So the story continues with Pastor Ramika being able to be victorious in the end over having been ousted from her church. She continues and eventually is called to a different aspect of ministry, but she continues to serve God and to live her life, deepening her meditation, caring for her body. She begins to eat better and exercise, and she spends time daily in meditation to Almighty God, that God will see her through that difficult time. And it is based in reality, because every day pastors face difficult challenges in life, but we are actually strengthened by those challenges into knowing that not only will God see us through life's adversities, but God will render us victorious on the other side, so we can continue in ministry and continue to lift up God in Christ in all that we do. And so my prayer, yes, it is that people will read the book, will learn from it, will live well from it, and will know beyond a doubt that we are loved, that the saving grace of God bought our salvation when Jesus Christ lived, died, was resurrected, and ascended. That's where salvation came from. All we have to do is claim it and live it. And so that's my book. It's published through Zulon Press, and I encourage you all, you can go on caregiverstory.com and purchase it and read it, and encourage others to live as we are called. And Carolyn, we're coming toward the end of our show. We've got 3 minutes. In those 3 minutes, what would you like to share with the world? Take us on out.
You know what? Thank you so much. I just want to say I am grateful beyond measures. Those of you, if you're having any challenges in your life, you got to hook up with wonderful men and women of God, spiritual folks. And if they tell you that they're spiritual, run the other direction. You go by the fruits that a person bears. If a person puts out good fruit, then that's going to show you who that person is. But don't go. I never go by what a person say. I go by only what the Spirit tells me about that person, and their light should shine. So I thank God that. So I thank God so much to have a father such as Dr. William L. Brent. I thank God that he's in my soul, in my heart, every moment of each and every day. And we only have 1 minute left. And Mary, I want you to close out the show. We finally closed the show out on time. Can you believe we did it on time? The first time ever this week. So you close out the show. We have 1 minute. Anything else you'd like to share?
All right. My friends,
Our next show will be next Sunday,
January 31st or February 5th. We will have Mr. John Wilson, celebrated music producer, one of the singing group members, Sly, Slick, and Wicked. He has lived in Los Angeles. He has done excellent work in music production, having produced LaToya Jackson and many, many others. He was the first to take gospel music to Japan. He's traveled around the world 18 times, and he will share with us his life of faith on this journey. And so join us again this morning. Bye, everyone. Bye, Maggie. Bye, Melissa. Bye, Carolyn.
Bye-bye. Thank you. From CaregiverStory.com, your Y-Way station. Come back next week. We're going to have Lachey from London, England, at 5 o'clock on West East Coast time. Be on the call. She's talking about connecting the dots. She's only 15 years old. She has her very own show. And we'll see you next week, world. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.